So welcome to our Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs session this afternoon. My name is Terry Shellington. I'm your moderator. And I have a couple of announcements. We welcome, first of all the viewers on Shaw Television and appreciate our partners who are part of this enterprise. I have a couple of announcements I want to make before we jump into our presentation this afternoon. And they both concern we live in interesting times. And next Tuesday evening is a candidates forum at the Lethbridge Public Library. That's Tuesday evening from 7 to 9, and you're invited to be there. It's a very interesting format, and we're looking forward to letting the candidates talk to each other and with us. You're invited to put questions forward, and you can do that by speak to Trevor here this afternoon or email us at sacfa.ca.
What time?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. So that's to look forward to, 6 days before the election. And secondly, next Thursday, a week from today, the topic is watershed management. How do we find balance? Presenter is Wendy DeVent, and we'll talk about water issues and how we plan for our future in terms of water. It's a great pleasure to welcome the MLA from Cardston Tabor Warner this afternoon, Paul Hinman. Also in November, he was elected leader of the Provincial Alliance Party. So we get a chance to talk to a party leader. The Hinmans have a long history in this area, and Paul has four children, lives in Welling. And Alberta has a long history of small parties rising to power, and so it behooves us to pay attention, and this is our chance to get a glimpse at what Alberta would look like under an alliance government. Paul Hinman.
Well, thank you very much, Terry and SACPA, for the invitation. I consider it a real honor and a privilege to be here today and to share with you a few views and ideas on the Alberta Alliance Party and what it could do for the province of Alberta. I just maybe want to start off with by breaking the ice. If we're walking down the street and we stop and we start gazing in and looking into a window, what do we call those type of people? And we'll have an interaction. Anybody can tell me a little bit more. It's kind of looking into the privacy, maybe. Peeping Tom. Someone, they got it. Now, if we're to take ourselves and to move up north, and we're walking by an igloo and to happen to look in, what would they call us there? It would be Tom Took a Look. And so today, I'm hoping that you get more than just a quick Tom Took a Look at the Alliance Party, what we have to offer, and what we have inside the Alliance Party, because it's very hard in 25 minutes to possibly cover all the subjects. And so I'm going to start. You can't see this. I have a great big poster, but this is a picture of pictures. And if you get a magnifying glass and you look at each one, you can see that everyone's an individual picture. But when it gets all together, it forms a totally different picture that has nothing to do with the individual pictures. And to me, that's what life is. That's what democracy is. That's what the world is that we're just one small element of the big picture, but we have to realize what the real picture is, that we can be harmonious and live together. The next thing that I want to say is to realize that we all have our perception. And I hope this is big enough that many of you have seen this before, but what do you immediately see when you look at this? Most people will see an old woman looking forward, and the chin down here and her big nose and her eyes and looking forward. And that's great because you're an optimist and that's what I am. If I cut it off and you go to the necklace and you see her chin and her eyelashes and her ear, it's a young girl. And so what we have is the same picture. I don't know what the artist was necessarily intending, but yet we can have a negative or an old, or we can have a positive, new, and a young picture all in the same thing. And I hope that today that I leave you with a positive view of the Alberta Alliance and what we can in the future of not only our community, our province, our country, and the world. And that, to me, is what SACPA is about, people getting together, exchanging views, so that we can understand one another better and get along in the big picture. I guess I'll have one other quick icebreaker here that I grew up. I'm the fifth generation here in Alberta. I love Southern Alberta. I've traveled all over the world. I love coming home to the freedom, the democracy, and the blessings that we have here. We live in a blessed land. We have an abundance. And as we know, that can be a curse. I look at myself as a fifth generation farmer. I look at Alberta as third, fourth, fifth generation since Confederation. And the purpose why I got involved into politics is because I don't want to lose the family farm. I don't want to lose Alberta. I don't want to lose Canada. And I believe that we don't have to, if in fact that we'll put our minds to it, be open, and look for the truth. Two things I guess I want to start with is that what is the role of government? Why do we have government? What is there? And there's a, George Washington perhaps said it best that it's our duty to teach our children the science of government. And to me, the role of government is to protect our rights and to protect our freedoms, not to take them away, not to limit them. And we have to always keep that in mind, that that is the big picture. And from there, want to go into the Constitution a little bit. And I've still got the old original red book. And like I say, my grandfather's in politics. I grew up talking politics. I thought everybody did. But anyways, I guess we don't. And I'm grateful for those of you who do, though, because we need to talk about it if, in fact, we want to be successful and protect it. But under the Constitution Act 1982, very first paragraph, or the preamble, it says, "Whereas Canada is founded upon the principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law." And I believe in that. I believe in that very strongly. That if we want a democracy, we have to have respect for the law, and we have to have respect for people's individual rights and what they want to do. And where we pull the line, though, is that when our individual rights hurt other people's rights or their property, that is where an injustice has occurred, and therefore we have our government, we have our area of complaint in order to keep peace and prosperity amongst us. And I believe that we're getting into a position where we no longer respect the rule of law, but we're far more interested in the arbitrary political laws and what we can do to take advantage for our certain, menu, what it is that we want personally. And Section 15, subsection 1-2, it says in there the benefit of the law. And to me, when someone benefits from the law, that means someone loses. We never want to benefit from the law. We want to all be treated equally and protected by the law. And so from there, I want to go forward and talk a little bit about the different things that the Alberta Alliance can and should provide for Albertans. And perhaps the first thing I'll talk about on being protected by the law, because it's near and dear to our community here, is Integra Air. The Edmonton Airport authorities came out with their rules on what it would take to fly in to downtown municipal airport. And then they decided, and I won't go into all the reasons because I believe it was purely an economical one, not because of the land, but because of their international airport. They needed more flights going into the international airport. And so they took away Integra's right, and they bought their airplanes. They set up their program, their business, to meet those original laws. And yet Peace River, Grand Prairie, Fort McMurray can still all fly in to into Edmonton Downtown Municipal Airport, but they've banned Integra Air, and they've given a whole list of excuses. And to me, if the province of Alberta was really standing up for business and fair and equality before the law, it would have stepped in and said, you can't do that. And so those are the type of things that I'm talking about, that we're living in a time of arbitrary political law. And we've got to back up and say, no, the law is to be distributed and protect everybody equally, whether it's business, whether it's life, and those things are critical. And so we need a better justice system where injustices are prevented and where those people that have done, whether it's crime, monopolies, or taken advantage of other people, that there is recourse and that we can protect individuals from those areas. I'll move on to a few different areas now and talk about them. And like I say, it's very hard in such a snapshot window of 25 minutes to share all these things, but the environment that we live in is critical. And we all know and understand that. And as we go into this new millennium, we realize that, you know, gosh, there's just so many things that we're doing that is harmful to ourselves. What are we going to do about it? And we're passing more and more safety laws and making it tougher and tougher to do business. But yet we never allow the freedom of free enterprise to go forward because they're usually penalized. And whether we're talking economics and the idea of seed money, green electricity, whatever it is, we should be inspiring people and hoping that they'll put their money and their research into it so that we can have a better world. Here in Alberta, we have that ethanol plant from straw, a byproduct. Germany is looking at it and will probably get it. And I'm sure many of you read that in the paper this week. And there's just so many situations like that where we penalize the thrifty, we penalize those people who go out and work hard, and we need to change that role. We need to give tax breaks for companies and corporations that want to move ahead. We need to be able to invest our money into those things, just like we can with an RRSP. We're encouraged to do that. Why? Because the government knows that it's not going to be able to support someone like myself when we reach the retirement. So now they're saying, you know what, we'll give you a tax break. You can put in $13,000, $15,000 a year, and we'll take that off of your net income, and we won't tax you on that. We could do those things with business, especially when it comes to environment. We allow it up in Fort McMurray that they make huge investments, and they get their royalties to pay off the capital. I believe we should have done it with BSE. And many other things. But if we don't take that attitude, I believe, with the environment and the things that are around us, we're going to suffer. There's many new toilets on the market, for example, that are low-flush toilets. There's one from Australia that I think is really amazing. And if, in fact, we were to pass environmental laws to say, you know, if you put one of these in, we'll give you $100 a year tax credit for 3 years to pay for it, we would save a tremendous amount of water. But there's many other ideas like that. To move on to another big issue, though, health. It's a real dilemma. We're looking what and how are we going to solve this. And once again, we don't want to see government continue to be stepping in and interfering with the health process. Just today in the paper, they announced out in Ontario these new health doctors, $2,300 a year you pay, but you'll get 1 hour initial interview, complete going through, and people are saying, oh, this is bad, no one's allowed to do that. Why is it if we live a free country that someone can't take their money, and if they want to invest it in health, they shouldn't be allowed to do it? I don't understand that negative attitude that we have of someone being able to do something where someone else can't. We need to overcome that. But I believe the real answer to our problems here in Alberta is that we need to focus on service. The government talks about the service, what it has to offer, and whether or not we'll be able to line up and have that service. Europe, after the war, and Germany, they're promising free bread and other things. But if you have to line up and wait 4 hours, someone who has 25 cents would rather go buy the loaf than to take 4 hours waiting there. I was up at Calgary at the Stampede all week long. There are free lunches. There are not very many Calgarians that line up to get their free lunches because you have to wait an hour for a simple plain meal. And so we shouldn't do it with health care or anything else to say line up, it's free, if in fact someone else chooses to go out and to buy it. But if we were to just change the whole paradigm and the Alberta government was to say, you know, we will pay for services, not for monopolies and not for management. Right now our health regions are given huge sums of money. And then they're saying, look after your area. And they'll say, these are the things that you're allowed to look after. Angioplasty surgery is something here at the Lethbridge Regional Hospital that they would love to bring in an angioplasty surgeon. There's actually one, I've been told, in the States that wants to come back to Canada. But the big boys up in Edmonton and Calgary have said, oh, no, that's our jurisdiction. And if we were to bring one in, the special funding that goes with a heart trauma unit won't come down to Lethbridge because they don't see fit for us to have one. And that's the problem when government gets in there and wants to interfere with everything. My best example, though, is my grandfather had a friend who went to Russia, and one of the dilemmas as they were traveling around in the country, that the government was unable to keep enough aspirin or Tylenol in the local towns. He says, we have way too much in one town, not enough in another, and they've never been able to figure out a way on seeing how painkillers can be distributed properly for the people. It doesn't work to control everything from the top down. If you let the pharmacist order in, he will soon find a balance and be there and do that. And it's the same with the health care. If, in fact, we put up for MRIs, for example, a bid and say how much would each region or a private doctor like to set up an MRI clinic, would they charge the province to perform those functions? We'd put competition into the system, but yet it could still be public, and they would pay. We all go to our doctor's office. It's a private building. They run a private office there. We're not afraid of that. And I don't believe we need to be afraid of a system where we pay for services provided. Currently, every time we go into the hospital or somewhere else, they look at us as an expense, not as their paycheck coming in. And so if we were to change that, I believe that it would really make a tremendous difference. But my real fear is that government wants to create what we call the perfect storm, throw their hands up in the air and say, wow, there's nothing else that we can do. We're going to have to monopolize it, privatize it. And then we get into the conundrum that we have where we can't afford to pay it. It goes through the roof and there isn't free enterprise or competition in those areas as we've done with electricity. It hasn't been to our benefit. And why? Because it really wasn't free enterprise. And they didn't really show all the rules that were going to take place 5 years into the plan. And we got caught again here in Lethbridge with a six-month timetable, and the mayor threw up his arms and said, oh, we're just going to get out of it. Why? Because the rules are always changing. They're arbitrary political rules. We don't know what the long term is going to be. It's a real problem. I'd like to go on and talk a little bit about education. Charles Given, knowledge is the quickest and safest path to success. And I really believe that. Knowledge is the future. I read a book a couple of years ago by Juan Enriquez, and it was called As the Future Catches Me. And he talks about the genome system and how things have changed, and just want to read a few questions that he throws out to us on the end, and I'll take the opportunity to read this if you don't mind. The world's most powerful and compact information processing system is the genome. The gap between the richest and the poorest country is now 390-1 and getting bigger. Wealth is based on knowledge, and lone individuals can generate more wealth than an entire country. A company with 32,000 employees is worth more than 10 times the value of the exports of a country with approximately 170 million people. Countries with a lot of land and natural resources are at a disadvantage. The cost of sequencing a single gene has collapsed from $150 million to $50. Nanotechnology will enable the Encyclopedia Britannica to be written on the head of a pin. Maintaining current U.S. leadership in technology depends on increase in immigration, not cutting back. IBM generates more patents alone than 139 countries did together. And what he talked about there, and what I found really interesting, in Alberta, we're unique, in my opinion, because we have the resources, but our greatest resource will be our kids, our future. How do we train them? What do we give them? And he uses the example of Singapore. They were destitute in the late 50s. They were looking for a country to absorb them, and nobody would. And then a Harvard graduate came down there and landed in Singapore and said, look what we have here. Look at our assets. And everybody looked around. What? What assets do we have here? And he says, well, you, the people, will educate you. And look what they've done in Singapore. In a short 20 years, they rose to the top. We have the opportunity here. We have the wealth. We have the resources. We need and we should be the center of the world on research, on education. We want our children to have that opportunity, and we can and we should do it. We need a full curriculum. We need those curriculums out in rural Alberta. We don't need to be cutting back like they have with the hospitals and say, well, it's not economical. Life isn't always about economics. It's about quality and it's about opportunities. I don't believe in equal things, but I do very much believe in equal opportunities, and education is that opportunity. To me, there's nothing more inspiring than to see an immigrant come to this country and see the mother and father work their fingers to the bone, long, long hours, a lot of times, 16, 18 hours. I know one in my area right now, but boy, do they ever teach and do their kids ever respect the idea and the excitement of education and what that will do for them in the next generation. And you see doctors, accountants, engineers, whatever, come out in one generation. We have that opportunity, and so let's make sure we remember that. Taxation is another huge area that we need to address. We all understand in a civilized world that we need to have some taxes. We want to pay for our roads. We want to pay for our sewage systems, our water treatment. There's many areas. But the place that we get our most services from are our local governments, the city of Lethbridge, the MD of Tabor, the county of Warner, the county of Cardston. That is where each of us draw most of our services that are provided for us. Yes, we have the Army. Yes, we have Canada Post. We have some of those other areas. But yet, with our tax structure, we're left to struggle on all of these local levels, and we have this attitude that father knows best or grandfather knows best. And that father who's becoming very old in Edmonton, or a grandfather perhaps who's senile down in Ottawa. And they want to take all of our money and say, we know best, you can't spend anything because we got a double signature on this account. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. BC has struggled. They bottomed out before us. We didn't really, I guess maybe we bottomed out and we're on the way back. We've paid off our deficit, one of them, deficit spending, deficit government. And so we're bouncing back. But BC has realized they need to come up with what they call the fair share program. And what that is that the percentage of the royalties and revenue that the province and the government, well, the feds are even given a little bit, actually goes directly to the municipal level of government. The city of Fort St. John, and forgive me if my figures aren't right, worst thing being taped and everything else, but my understanding, I believe, is that the city of Fort St. John, I think, got $10 million of unconditional funding. I was up at Grand Prairie, and he was shaking his head, and he says, Paul, it's such a struggle here. I got $400,000 of unconditional funding. We have to go and ask Dad or Grandpa for everything that we do, and they say, no, you don't need that. And the future's not only caught them, they've passed them, and they don't deal with it on the local level. I have great trust and respect for our local leaders that have run. They're accountable. The best government is the closest government, and we need to remember that. And so I would like to see a fair share program where municipal governments know that they're getting a percentage coming back. When you look at the income tax and all of the gas tax and everything else that those big governments are collecting and the services that we get back, it's very poor return for our money. Very poor investment. I'll just touch briefly, I guess, on the Constitution and the fact that we do have in the Constitution and the BNA Act provincial rights and federal, I guess, provincial responsibilities, federal responsibilities. And we need to realize and sort those out and not be the suckers who say, oh, I'll give up that responsibility. You can look after my kids. You can look after my grandparents. You can look after everything, only to become welfare recipients in the system, having to look after ourselves. We want and can be independent, and we need to realize and stay with that in mind. I see I'm running out of time quickly here, and think I've only got through maybe half of what I wanted to talk about, but I really do love my country. I love the coat of arms. Fortis et Liber, Latin. It's for strong, it's for free. And that is what Alberta is, and that is what we can be. But liber, to go a little bit deeper, is actually the Latin word for tree bark, or papyrus, the inner bark there that they wrote on. And then if you continue a little bit further, what it is, it's a book of records. And it's a book of records on deeds and wills. And that's what made the free world, ownership, property, to have rights. We had to be able to write it. Alberta can and should be strong and free. It's our choice, but it's much easier to lose freedom than to maintain it. And I hope that as Albertans that we can sit back, that we'll struggle, that we'll go to the effort of learning and studying what true freedom is and how do we protect it. If we don't protect it, we're going to lose it. And that definitely is a fear for me, because once you've lost it, it's very difficult to get back, just like the family farm. If you're the third or fifth generation to lose it, chances are you're not going to have that farm again. Alexander Tyler, a historian from years ago, wrote this in 1787, and I guess it's been changed over the last 225 years or so, but a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until a majority of the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse or gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, taxing and spending, always followed by a dictatorship. The average life of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. Let's protect ours. Let's learn from history. Let's not have to repeat it. And in closing, I want to read from Alan Bloom's analysis that societies are successful when people choose to be good. If people choose mediocrity, they end up with a mediocre society. If they choose excellence, they build an excellent society. If they choose decadence, society decays. This is not only common sense, it's historically accurate. Perhaps best paraphrased by James Allen, we are what we think. We need to study the science of good government, of freedom, and how to protect it.